We now journey to the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This commandment calls us to live in truth, honesty, and integrity. It reminds us to speak rightly of others, uphold justice, and avoid deceit or slander. Living this commandment invites us to foster trust, peace, and reconciliation in our relationships, reflecting God's truth in every aspect of our lives. These recordings from the Catholic Files podcast with Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, are part of a special 9-part series exploring the Ten Commandments through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. May these reflections strengthen your faith, deepen your understanding, and accompany you on your journey with Christ. And now here is Father Sean Donnelly.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Catholic Files. I'm Father Donnelly. I'm glad that you're here today listening. During this season, we're walking together through the beauty and depth of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, uncovering what we believe, why we believe it, and how it shapes the way we live. So, whether you're new to the Catechism or returning to its study, I'm glad you're here. Let's start with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for calling us to deepen our understanding of the truths of our faith. Help us to apply what we learn accordingly. We pray these things for your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Catechism of the Catholic Church was divided into 4 parts. The presentation I'm giving made its way into the 3rd part, which has to do with the moral life, and specifically we're going through the 10 commandments. So today's subject will be the 8th commandment: you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is the requirement to be truthful. Since God is true, the members of his people are called to live in the truth. Romans 3:4. Jesus, of course, said about himself, "I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus teaches the unconditional love of truth when he says, "Let what you say be simply yes or no." In other words, don't be dancing around the truth, which is what was happening with some of the people in his day. It happens today, unfortunately, too often. Sometimes people aren't clear in so far as how they express themselves regarding the truth. We are impelled by nature and bound by moral obligation to seek the truth, especially religious truth, and then to adhere to the truth. Truth is not a product of one's mind. It's the other way around. The mind is supposed to be informed by reality or the truth. We don't decide what the truth is. The truth is the truth, whether or not a given person realizes it at the time. Truth or untruthfulness is the virtue which consists in showing oneself true in deeds and truthful in words, and in guarding against duplicity, dissimulation, and by hypocrisy. Men could not live with one another if there were not mutual confidence that they were being truthful to one another. Thomas Aquinas. Truthfulness keeps to the just mean between what ought to be expressed and what ought to be kept secret. It entails honesty and discretion. In justice, as a matter of honor, one man owes it to another to manifest the truth. Bearing witness to the truth. Before Pilate, Christ proclaims that he has come into the world to bear witness to the truth. John 18:37. In situations that require witness to the faith, a Christian must profess it without equivocation. After the example of St. Paul before his judges, he said, "We must keep a clear conscience toward God and toward men." Acts 24:16. The duty of Christians is to take part in the life of the church, impelling them to act as witnesses of the gospel and of the obligations that flow from it. This witness is a transmission of the faith in words and deeds. Witness is an act of justice that establishes the truth and makes it known, or makes it known. Martyrdom is the supreme witness to the truth. In other words, witnessing to the truth even unto death. The church has painstakingly collected the records of those who persevered to the end in witnessing to their faith. These are the acts of the martyrs. They form the archives of truth written in letters of blood. And the church has raised up many martyrs accordingly. Offenses against the truth. False witness and perjury, when it is made publicly, a statement contrary to the truth takes on a particular gravity. Now, if somebody's in a court of law in our country, a person takes an oath that he will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So to contradict that is to commit some form of perjury in a courtroom. Respect for the reputation of persons forbids every attitude and word likely to cause them unjust injury. So, there are other offenses of truth in this respect include rash judgment. So, somebody assuming even tacitly as true something that does not have sufficient foundation regarding the moral fault of a neighbor. In other words, if I just assume that somebody has a particular moral fault, I don't have any evidence to go on, but I'm thinking about the person in the worst light. That's an offense against truth. It's my fault for doing that. I should never do that. Love, as St. Paul says, is patient, is kind. It hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. We always give people the benefit of the doubt, so to speak. Detraction. That means without a validly or an objectively valid reason, disclosing another's faults and failings to persons who do not know them. So talking about someone in a very negative way to a third party who doesn't need to know that information, that's the sin of detraction. And that's one of the problems with gossip. Well, oftentimes gossip falls into that category. Calumny. Calumny, remarks contrary to the truth that harm the reputation of others and gives occasions for false judgment. So calumny is worse than detraction. Detraction is bad enough, but calumny is saying things about a person that aren't even true, and casting aspersions on the reputation before a third party, so to speak. And there's plenty of calumny going on in many ways. To avoid rash judgment, everyone should be careful to interpret, insofar as possible, his neighbor's thoughts, words, and deeds in a favorable way. Detraction and calumny destroy the reputation and honor of one's neighbor. They offend against the virtues of justice and charity. Every word or attitude is forbidden, which by flattery, adulation, or complacence encourages and confirms another in malicious acts and perverse conduct. Adulation is a great grave fault if it makes one an accomplice in another's vices or grave sins. So flattery can be very problematic, particularly when it confirms somebody in some sort of scandal. Boasting or bragging is an offense against the truth. So is irony, aimed at disparaging someone by maliciously caricaturing some aspect of his behavior. A lie consists in speaking a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. The Lord denounces lying as the work of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. There is no truth in him. Lying is the most direct offense against the truth. To lie is to speak or act against the truth in order to lead into error someone who has the right to know the truth. By injuring man's relation to the truth and to his neighbor, a lie offends against the fundamental relation of man and of his word to the Lord. The gravity of a lie is measured against the nature of the truth it deforms, the circumstances, the intentions of the one who lies, and the harm suffered by its victims. If a lie in itself only constitutes a venial sin, it becomes mortal when it does grave injury to the virtues of justice and charity. By its very nature, lying is to be condemned. It is a profanation of speech, whereas the purpose of speech is to communicate known truth to others. So, lying is purposely telling someone the opposite of what is true. So I know the truth is X, and I tell the person the opposite of that. That's lying, and that's wrong. Since it violates the virtue of truthfulness, a lie does real violence to another. It affects his ability to know, which is a condition of every judgment and decision. It contains the seed of discord and all consequent evils. Lying is destructive of society and undermines trust among men and tears apart the fabric of social relationships. Every offense committed against justice and truth entails the duty of reparation, even if its author has been forgiven. When it is impossible publicly to make reparation for a wrong, it must be made secretly. So, we continue. The right to the communication of truth is not unconditional. Everyone must conform his life to the gospel precept of fraternal love. This requires us, in concrete situations, to judge whether or not it is appropriate to reveal the truth to someone who asks for it. Sometimes, for good reason, we need not or should not reveal all of the truth to someone. But we can't lie. So what basically that means is we can tell the person something that is truthful concerning what he asks about. We don't necessarily have to tell him the rest of the story if we have a good reason not to. And sometimes the best way to deal with people who ask about things what maybe really they need not know or should not know, whatever the case might be, we can always ask, well, why do you ask? Or what's behind this, what's going on? So we have to be prudent. It doesn't mean that we're constantly looking for excuses not to tell people everything. That's not the point. But there are times when it may come up that a person asks something. Maybe the person doesn't need to know or shouldn't know everything for a particular reason. Fine, we can tell them what is true without lying about it. That's really the thing. We need not lie. And we can have a mental reservation sometimes. You know, somebody asks, you know, are you available to do X, Y, and Z? And maybe we have a good reason not to do X, Y, or Z. We can tell the person something or ask the person, you know, is there some other way we can deal with this situation? We don't want to lie about our capacity to do something. We can tell some of the truth if that's, you know, called for. Most of the time, it's not an issue. We can tell people everything, but sometimes it is an issue. Certainly in the court of law, you have to tell everything. There's no question about it. Otherwise, it's perjury. The right to the communication of the truth is not unconditional. Everyone must conform his life to the gospel precept of fraternal love. This requires us in concrete situations to judge whether or not it is appropriate to reveal the truth to someone who asks for it. So, the good and safety of others, respect for privacy, and the common good are sufficient reasons for being silent about what ought to be known or for making use of discreet language. The duty to avoid scandal often commands strict discretion. No one is bound to reveal the truth to someone who does not have a right to know it. So that's another thing. Maybe a person doesn't have a right to know a particular thing. The secret of the sacrament of reconciliation is sacred and cannot be violated. So in confessional context, the priest is not allowed to tell anybody outside the confessional about what he heard, and such that people would be able to connect the sin to a particular person. We have professional secrets, and everyone should observe an appropriate reserve concerning people's private lives. So, you know, being people of truth doesn't mean that, therefore, indiscriminately we talk about all kinds of things that don't need to be spoken about. especially people's private lives. The use of social communications, the information provided by the media is at the service of the common good. Society has a right to information based on truth, freedom, and solidarity. Now, having said that, of course, sometimes different media can spin the news in certain directions or whatever. We have to be careful about what we take in, among other things. By the very nature of their profession, journalists have an obligation to serve the truth and not offend against charity in disseminating information. They should strive to respect with equal care the nature of the facts and limits of the critical judgment concerning individuals. They should not stoop to defamation. And we've had a certain amount of defamation taking place over the years in certain media platforms. Nothing can justify recourse to disinformation for manipulating public opinion through the media. So manipulating opinion is not a legitimate application. It's not really what the truth is about. In fact, oftentimes it distorts the truth. You have misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation is just things that are just not correct. It may be through no fault of the speaker or writer, but disinformation is purposeful untruths being conveyed. So, moral judgment must condemn the plague of totalitarian states which systematically falsify the truth, exercise political control of opinion through the media, manipulate defendants and witnesses to public trials, and imagine that they secure their tyranny by strangling and repressing everything they consider thought crimes. So, thought crimes, that's the kind of thing that George Orwell talked about in his book 1984 with totalitarian societies where people in power want to control everything, including what people think and what they say, which is wrong. Truth can find complementary forms of human expression, but above all, when it is a matter of evoking what is beyond words, the depths of the human heart, exaltations of the soul, the mystery of God. So we have truth, beauty, and sacred art. What people can produce things that should reflect the depth and beauty of what it is they're trying to depict, especially if they're artists. The spiritual beauty of God is reflected in the Most Holy Virgin Mother of God, the angels, and the saints. Genuine sacred art draws man to adoration, to prayer, and to the love of God, Creator and Savior, the Holy One and Sanctifier. So, thou shalt not bear false witness. Very important. It's important to understand what it means to be conveyors of the truth, safeguard the truth, live the truth, follow the truth, and also be discriminating. Sometimes the things we hear about are not true, and be careful about rash judging people accordingly. Our society sort of encourages people to think negatively of others. So we must keep that in mind, and ask the dear Lord for prudence in what it is we can tell others or reveal to others, and what we shouldn't, to safeguard people's privacy or whatever the case might be. So, dear friends, thank you. God bless you all, and may Almighty God bless you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please, until next week, stay rooted. That is to say, until next week, we'll meet again. But please stay rooted in the faith. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We sincerely hope and pray that this recording from the Catholic Files podcast, featuring Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, reflecting on the Ten Commandments through the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, draws you ever closer to the loving heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are not merely rules. They are a roadmap to holiness, a guide to living in right relationship with God and with our neighbors. As you listen, allow your heart to be open to God's grace. Let His truth illuminate your mind, and let His love transform your soul. For those seeking to deepen their faith, we invite you to explore more of the Catholic Files weekly podcast with Father Donnelly at www.iccmadison.com. And whether you are near or far, know that the Church, Christ's living body, is always welcoming you to encounter Him through the celebration of the Holy Mass. Please download these audios to share with your friends and family. May these reflections on the Ten Commandments inspire you to live with integrity, humility, and joy. And always carry in your heart the greatest of all commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. Let this commandment guide your actions, your thoughts, and your prayers each day. For in loving God fully, we learn to love others as He has loved us. Thank you for listening. May God fill your life with His peace, surround you with His love, and guide you always on the path of faith and holiness. May the joy of Christ dwell in your heart today and every day.